Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 15, Canto 4, Chapter 22. Tadaham Krita Vishrambha
Tadaham Krita Vishrambha
Surado Vastapasvinam
Surado Vastapasvinam
Sampriche Bhava Etasmin
Sampriche Bhava Etasmin
Shema Kenanjasa Bhavet Tat. Therefore. Aham. I. Krittavishrambaha.
Being completely assured.
Suradaha.
Friend.
Vaha.
Our.
Tapasvinam, suffering material pangs. Sampriche,
wish to inquire.
Bhave, in this material world.
Etasmin,
this. Kshemaha,
ultimate reality.
Kena,
by which means.
Anjasa,
without delay.
Bhavet,
can be achieved.
Translation, I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you, how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When saintly persons go from door to door to see those who are too much materially engaged, it is to be understood that they do not go to ask for anything for their personal benefit. In fact, it is a fact that saintly persons go to materialists just to give real information of the auspicious. Maharaj Prithu was assured of this fact. Therefore, instead of wasting time by asking the Kumaras about their welfare, he preferred to inquire from them whether he would soon be relieved from the dangerous position of materialistic existence. This was not, however, a question personally for Prithu Maharaj. It was raised to teach the common man that whenever one meets a great saintly person, one should immediately surrender to him and inquire about relief from the material pains of existence. Therefore, Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Samsara Bishanale Diva Nishi Hiya Jvale Judaite Na Kenu Opai. Translation, we are always suffering from material pangs and our hearts are burning, but we cannot find any way out of it. The materialistic person can also be called a tapasvi, which means someone who is always suffering from material pangs. One can get rid of all these material pains only when he takes shelter of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is also explained by Narottama Das Thakur. Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtana Ratina Janmila Kena Thai. Narottama Das Thakur regretted that he did not pursue his attraction for the transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. The conclusion is, that all persons in this material world are suffering from material pains. And if one wants to get out, get rid of them, he must associate with saintly persons, pure devotees of the Lord, and chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the only auspicious way for materialistic persons. Srila Prabhupada's purports are brilliant. So, this section, those who have not attended the morning classes here, just a little background. Prithu Maharaj has been blessed, or he's receiving the saintly association of the Kumaras. They chose to voluntarily, they weren't called, they just came. And to give their transcendental association. And he recognized this very, very special mercy. And he's interested, he's a king. He's interested, as kings are, good kings, in the welfare of their subjects, the citizens. So Prithu began to inquire into the welfare of his citizens. And we were discussing yesterday, commonly when one person greets another person, you know, vernacular messages are, hey, how's it going? How's it been? How are you doing? How's everything? That's a big question, how's everything? More specifically, a little more refined, is those things that are auspicious within your life, how are they faring? Those things that are challenging or difficult or apparently inauspicious in your life, how are you handling them? How are things going? Yesterday, verse was Prithu starting off by saying, for persons like you, there's no question of auspicious, inauspicious. You're transcendental. And we discussed another song, excuse me, a message from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatana Goswami about the nature of a transcendentalist. Like Sanatana Goswami, there's no question of inauspicious, because even because they're of full absorption in devotional service, so even the body and the mind become fully absorbed in service to Krishna. They become fully spiritualized, so there's no auspicious, inauspicious. Rather, that notion is a mental concoction. This concept, or this, the challenges of life, is, you know, the practical application of our high philosophy when we're not so high, is how do we meet and accept circumstances that Krishna brings in this material world, which is, now going over to this verse, this morning's verse, is like a blazing fire. It's not that when you become a devotee, you won't get old. It's not that when you become a devotee, you won't get diseases. It's not that when you become a devotee, you won't die. You live in this body forever. Hopefully, one takes shelter of Krishna won't have to take birth again. So that's the, you know, of the four, there's one that's like, we're pardoned. The ultimate solution to life's problems is not take birth again, but take eternal shelter of Krishna, so that we can achieve now. And that's the means of addressing the problems, the burning fire. But when one is, one's life, from the previous verse, when one's life is implicated in forgetfulness, and that the byproduct or the shadow of that forgetfulness is attraction for the temporary, asat trishna in the language of Bhagavad Gita, thirst for the impermanent, attracted to the position of being the enjoyer of illusion. Of course, we don't think it's illusion. We think it's, that's reality, and spiritual reality is, you know, somewhere else. Fiction or, you know, wishful thinking, but then there's, you know, my happiness. And happiness is sense gratification. Bringing objects to the senses, contacting those objects, finding happiness. Whoa, wait a minute, it wasn't happiness. So that's exactly what was yesterday's verse is discussing. The frustration that follows is exactly the topic last evening at the university, without reviewing the consumer economics model, having been studied by sociologists and psychologists. It's not that affluence, the American model, by affluence then you have proliferation of choices. And when you have proliferation of choices, then you can choose your happiness. So the end product is happiness, greater happiness. Well, unfortunately, that equation doesn't work. And studies show in different ways, four different ways primarily, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. So, and you don't have to do sociological and psychological studies. If you just hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Narottama Das Thakur. Now, how to see those birth, death, disease and old age symptoms, or the blazing fire of material existence. The previous verse is, it's illusory. That there's reality and there's illusion, and within illusion there's no auspicious or inauspicious, it's simply illusion. Like the wet stool, dry stool example. It's the first class prisoner or the 10th class prisoner. You're in prison. Oh, I like being the first class prisoner. Mm-hmm. But the restriction comes from our own free will choice of independent enjoyment, asat trishna. And what's the cure? That's what is being asked. It's a core Bhagavatam question. Here is being asked by Prithu Maharaj in a particular way for the welfare of his citizens. What is it? For persons who are in this blazing fire of material existence and suffering greatly, what's not just like how to get rid of the suffering, but specifically how to achieve the ultimate goal of life, which isn't just get, you know, tolerate the suffering or have less of it, or more sense gratification and less suffering, you know, just tilt the pan scale a little bit. That's not the objective of the Bhagavatam. Nor the ultimate goal of life is merging, like Sayuja Mukti, getting out of the material existence and merging in oneness with Brahman. So the question is begging the answer, and what's the means? He hasn't defined here what the goal of life is, but we're going to hear the goal of life. It's inquiring into the means. But not just mitigation of distress, not just becoming one with the Supreme, but the ultimate goal of life. Certainly, that's the Bhagavatam's message. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Paradharma is the message of the Bhagavatam, and the means to achieve it is also being given right here in Canto 4, Chapter 22. Prabhupada makes reference to Narottama Das Thakur. Well, first let me just say, before that, he speaks of the saintly person that goes door to door. Just yesterday, somebody forwarded a little audio clip, which I sent out to a number of devotees, of Prabhupada speaking in India about a visit that he made to Berkeley, California in 1969. I'll just summarize what Prabhupada said in this little audio clip. He was visiting a university in Berkeley, and as he was taking questions, one Indian graduate student, 1969, challenged Prabhupada, "Why are you coming here as a beggar?" And Prabhupada challenged him back, said, "I have not come as a beggar, I've come as a giver. You have come as a beggar. You're saying the need today is technology. So you've left your culture, you've come to America begging the education, and then you go door to door and begging for a job. Please throw me a bone. Woof woof." He didn't say all that, but "I've come as a giver. I'm giving culture and I'm giving knowledge, not as a beggar, but as a giver. And I will continue to do that throughout my life." And apparently that quieted the man. And then Prabhupada went on to describe that in giving culture, his point was, when I came to your country, when I came to America, some members of the Ramakrishna Mission approached me and said, "Swamiji, you won't get people to take this message unless you dress like they do." So I think he used shirt, coat, pant. "You should dress like that, shirt, coat, pant." And Prabhupada said, "No, I will give culture. And now I'm also giving dress, the culture of India dress." I'm commenting on this in part because you may pick up on a buzz, that's like a current little buzz from some quarters of ISKCON saying things like, you know, "We don't need, this is not transcendental dress, it's India." And, well, Prabhupada gave us this, we have to be like relevant and relatable, so we should dress like everybody dresses so they don't look at us funny, and we can, you know, dress like they do and talk like they do. We don't need Sanskrit verses and Bengali songs. There's a little buzz going on like that. But Prabhupada said, dress in Western, in our culture, whether people take it, don't take it, we're giving knowledge, we're giving culture. And Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Prabhupada repeated many times, his writings, they're in Bengali, but they're none different than scripture. They're Shastra. Why they're Shastra? Because it's the same message as Shastra. And here we have it. What's being said in the Bhagavatam is being said by Narottama Das Thakur in simple Bengali language. And here's the simple Bengali language. Sangsara Vishanale. Deva Nishi Hiyajvale. Judaita Nakainu Upai. So I'm going to get the word for word from this own book. Samsara Vishanale, the fire of poison of worldliness. In the fire of the poison of worldliness, Samsara Vishanale, Diva Nishi, day and night, Hiyajvale, my heart burns. Judaite, to relieve it, Na Kainu Upai, I have not taken the means. Now the previous verse is what is being referred to next. Golokaya Prema Dana Harinama Sankirtana. That the chanting of the holy name, that's the means. So he's presenting himself as a foolish person. Oh Lord Hari, I have wasted my life. Although I have taken this rare human birth, I have not served Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna na bhajiya. And thus, I have knowingly drunk poison. Janiya shunya vishakainu. Vishakainu, I have drunk poison. Golokera premadana. Harinama sankirtana ratina. Janmilokena tai. My attraction hasn't come about. Why? Than this. Samsara Vishanale Divinishi Hiyaja. Because I have this addiction for the poison of worldliness. And I keep drinking the poison of worldliness, and my heart burns. And I haven't taken the means to correct it. Beautiful, huh? Then, because that's exactly what's in the purport. The treasure of divine love of Goloka Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of the Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Vraja, became the son of Sachi, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jagai and Madhai, are evidence of this in the last verse, a prayer. Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Rishabhanu Sutta Yuta Karuna Koroho Ebar. O Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Rishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottama Das says, quote, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet. For who is my beloved except for you? Beautiful, huh? So, Prabhupada's quoting this song, that's the means of deliverance, and he's lamenting, like, you know, a sadhaka, a struggling sadhaka might lament, or a transcendentalist who's on the topmost platform of Uttama Adhikari, feelings of separation from Krishna position, not like us, feeling separation, the misfortune of his weakness, spiritual weakness, and cripple-mindedness, and foolishness, and rebelliousness, and the burning sensation in the heart of being separated from the lotus feet of Krishna, my only shelter. So the conclusion, in summary, Prabhupada writes, it's two things. all persons in this material world are suffering from material pains. And if one wants to get rid of them, he must, two things, associate with saintly persons, pure devotees of the Lord, and chant the Mahamantra. And if one wants to speak about auspiciousness, that's auspiciousness. The other is like illusion, neither auspicious, inauspicious, it's a shadow. The real standard of auspiciousness is that which endures, sat, the shelter of the personality of Godhead, made readily accessible by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda through the chanting of the holy name. And of course, to help nourish that attraction, the association of those who have such attraction and are giving the teachings of how to lead one's life and are setting the example of how to lead one's life according to such a principle of life. Exactly what Prithu is saying to the Kumaras. You have the secret. You have the capacity, you have the spiritual power and understanding. Please indicate when my citizens and myself also will be no longer in this burning fire of material existence. What is the means? And please give us the strength to fulfill that purpose. It's very nice. The emotion content of Narottama Das Thakur's song is heart moving. The message is the same from Prithu. He's a king. But you know, Narottama Das Thakur was also from the son of a king. He was a prince, the son of a landholder, zamindar, king. So he was of the same, you say, royal order. That had no appeal to him. The shelter of the association of devotees had appeal to him. And in that association of devotees, we see how he matured in that attraction for that shelter. So we also can, by applying ourselves carefully, thoughtfully, sincerely. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving the direction for that. Any comments or discussion? Different?
If we have a practical problem, then we separate spirituality from it.
Okay.
So how do we bridge the gap? Like, how do we think that this is related to money?
This very question, there's going to be a whole session in our retreat in Giranagari on this topic. So stay tuned, but I'll give you a snapshot. There's one whole session. Chai Jagannath is going to speak about self-acceptance. Self-honesty, self-acceptance, and thus self-compassion. And from that, so acknowledging the reality of my situation in an honest way. And then that's the platform for progression, because self-deception doesn't allow that. Self-honesty allows that. Then accepting. That's my position. It's not here, it's here. Then let me thoughtfully apply the means. See that? So that's the next step. They're combined, recognizing who I am, where I'm at, and going the next step is under guidance and according to scriptural indication. Taking shelter, that's the from the heart part, and then sadhana, sadhana bhakti. There are means to purify the heart and to Prabhupada, I'm surprised Prabhupada didn't mention it, because the language is very clearly Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, that the chanting of the holy name extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. So that one can then get some relief, or you can say close the gap, because contaminations are covering or keeping us from the destination. And staying in a humble position. Like Narottama Das Thakur. He's not in that new position. He's in the most elevated position. He's not thinking, okay, I've arrived. He's thinking, like us. Only he's not like us. So that's an example of maintaining or even strengthening, amplifying the position of humility throughout the whole process. So the gap, while the gap is closing, maintaining the mood, the spirit of humility. And with the spirit of humility, it's not discouragement, it's impetus. That's an important, a spiritual conception of humility. There's this gap. It's not, I'm way down here and I'm not up there. It's impetus to go beyond our limitations. Inspiration. There's some thoughts.
So in this, connected to this question we accept the hearts like not here, but there is a desire for us in the path of devotional service, like what you want to do for Krishna. And that desire, and we should have the capacity to link with that. But the capacity is totally different. But how to satisfy the desire and link with the capacities, to do that service, which the desire is so strong that it keeps, but it gives an input that you can do. But the capacity or the, the equipment, I may not have that. I mean, I may have it, but it is not like perfect. So how to refine it, how to develop it? Because by sadhana...
I got the question. Okay. How many answers do you want? I'll give you two or three. The strength to carry out our devotional service comes from Balaram, because he's spiritual strength. It's not just material strength, like I can lift this weight because I practice lifting weights, but it's spiritual strength to carry out devotional service. It's not material ability or skill or tools or whatever. It's spiritual strength, because one can have the tools or ability, whatever, and not carry it out, or not carry it out properly, or make a mess. So it's spiritual strength. And that's from Lord Balaram. So that's half of our Maha Mantra. Oh Lord Balaram, please give me the strength to carry out my devotional service. And then another is refinement of ability or skill. I've said this many times, but I like the example, so I'll say it again. One of our artists in the very, very beginning of the Hare Krishna movement had never held a paintbrush in their hand before Prabhupada told them to paint or, become part of the art department. And they painted a few paintings and asked Prabhupada, should I take some art lessons? And Prabhupada's reply was, and practical experience shows us that, no necessity, you just paint with devotion. Lord Brahma has designed this body in such a way that you paint with devotion or do anything with devotion, the ability to do that something comes to you. So just paint with devotion. That doesn't mean, okay, we don't need to learn anything. We don't need any skills. We just like jump in the pool and start, you know, spreading the Hare Krishna movement. Look out, here we come. We're going to save the world and make a mess. So we may want to refine our skills. In fact, a number of our artists did go take art lessons. But Prabhupada, the emphasis was depending upon Krishna to refine our skills. Because without that, where's the devotion, even if one goes and gets the skills? The real spirit or essence is missing without hearing that message that Prabhupada gave. And then, you know, so skill development, whatever particular task or service one may be given, but fueled by or propelled by, or the real refinement is Krishna. That's faith. So there's part of the answer. And just another response to your, you know, we have our goals for what we'd like to do to serve Krishna. Well, that's nice, where did those ideas of our goals for serving Krishna come from? Did it come from, is it descending or from the factory of the mind or what? So that's an important factor. Because if it's something that's has the descending mercy and blessings, then it's one thing. Then anything is possible. And if it's from the factory of the mind, everything is impossible. Even we may do it, it's still, you know, it's not sustainable or endurable. Anyway, doesn't mean we can't be creative. We have to like have mommy tie our shoelaces or something. I can't tie my shoelaces unless she tells me to tie my shoelaces. It's not like that. You know, a little common sense is always good. But something that we know, at least directionally, is authorized or is sanctioned or is, you know, mandated. So our founder Acharya has given many instructions and we're to try to fulfill them. And then in trying to, this refining question, in trying to fulfill them, we take guidance and direction from accomplished persons. I'm thinking specifically of a situation where one of Prabhupada's disciples kind of started heading off the middle of the road and heading for the ditch. His name was Kirtanananda. And the GBC were quite concerned, but he was irascible. So there was one person who was close to him, Tatsarup Maharaj, because they, you know, in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, they were very close. So Tatsarup Maharaj was assigned to go speak with Kirtanananda, and one of the questions he was to ask was, supposing you had an idea of how to serve Prabhupada, and everybody else on the GBC said that's not a good idea, what would you conclude? He said, I conclude they're wrong. So that was, the discussion didn't go very far after that. So with submission to the guidance of and indication of others, well-wishing others. Does that help? Okay. Here he is. Anything else? Anybody? Yes.
Very much clarification on that.
Okay.
So if one receives an instruction and in sort of in the internal mood of carrying out that instruction is the sense of independence, or that a doer, I am going to perform this particular service because I am compassionate, etc., etc., that doesn't have potency versus...
Well, it has some potency, but it's like, you know, soup with a fly in it.
You.
So one may still be able to do something. Kirtananda, for example, did stuff. They, you know, he made a big boo-boo also, spiritually. So, not there's no potency, it's just, Krishna has a way, in such situations, Krishna has a way to address the person, because it's no longer the indication that Krishna has of taking sanction and blessings from others, it's dismissing that, or I'm going to do go, then you know, Krishna's in the heart and he'll purify. I have experience and full faith that devotional service is purifying. So if there's some impurity in the heart, either A or B, the impurity will go or the person will go. Because the impurity can't stand. There goes the impurity. Are you attached to the impurity? Okay, there you go. It's not nice, but devotional service is pure and purifying. It may, you know, the burn rate may be different, but it's going to happen. If one continues working in the doership mentality, one isn't satisfied, others aren't satisfied, and other undesirable byproducts will come. You know, bang on the head kind of byproducts. Or, you know, more subtle or whatever. You know, things become spoiled or whatever. Because devotional service is purifying. Okay. Thank you all very much. Prabhupada ki jai.